What's going on, good people? You know what it is. It's your boy, M.I. Corleone on the Learn As You Grow podcast. This week, our advertiser is none other than a local company in Philadelphia. They've been doing their thing for about 5 to 10 years now. They've been doing interior painting, exterior painting, and the company's name is M&M Paint. If you ain't up on M&M Paint, you ain't up on nothing in the city. First of all, a person like me, I don't know what I really want done. I just want something done. You know what I mean? I'm a man. I just want something done. I just want to look good. So, what do I do in that situation? Well, I call up M&M Paint. 215-668-9672. What do I do then? I probably get on the phone with Dana or Mike, right? And if it's Mike, I'll be like, Mike, you know, it's because it's all good and all that, but I want to talk to Dana because she's an interior designer and I need her expertise. And he said, no problem. Bang, put me through to Dana. I tell her, Dana, I don't know what I'm doing. I just want this to look nice. I mean, hook up this, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm gonna put a little studio over here. So I wanna do this, I'm gonna do the podcast over here. So she be like, Mike, am I Corleone? I got you. She don't call me Am I Corleone. But she be like, I got you. And then Mike comes through with the crew. And by the crew I mean another Mike, and he been in the business for years himself, or you might get Joey, Pat, or one of them to come through, the whole squad come through, but these are professional painters that get the job done no matter what time of the year it is, no matter what, no matter if it's commercial or just a small job, you know, no job's too big or small. There's endless possibilities and color combinations to turn your vision into reality. That's the simple, that's like their slogan. Once again, there's endless possibilities and color combinations to turn your vision into reality. No job's too big or small. They've been around for about 5 to 10 years. Look around on Facebook. They got great reviews. You can contact Mike or Dana at 215-668-9672. Once again, that's M&M Painting. And it's 215-668-9672. What's going on, man? It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. It's your host, M.I. Corleone, a.k.a. the founder of Beats by the Kilo. Uno momento. I'm going to go get my drink real quick. This might be a long one. Pause. Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of talk throughout, you know, the industry. Let me make sure this camera is here. Right angle on this. You know, I do everything myself from the camera angle to whatever needs to be done, you feel me? So, yeah. Alright, so. This should be bad. Right here. Bang. That's perfect. Alright. Make sure this joint good. Yeah. I would keep this up, but there's these little young bulls in the back that keep playing, but I might just leave it up a little bit and just give them a little bit of what they're looking for. Like halfway of what they're looking for. Feel me? Alright. You know who it is, man. It's your boy, M.I. Corleone. It's the Beats by the Kilo Network, Podcast Network. You know what's going on. It's the one and only. Yeah. He knows, she knows, it's Beats by the Kilo. Looking good, looking right, everything looking good. Yeah. I guess we got an audience today. How we doing? Over there, everybody square? All right. First thing I want to get into is let you know that it's the Learn As You Grow podcast with M.I. Corleone, Spotify, now YouTube, BeatsByTheKilo.com, Google Podcasts, Anchor. Shout out to Anchor, man. They've been showing nothing but love, getting me paid off these podcasts that I'm doing. So shout out to them. And right now, it's about that time. Pop open the Red Bull. And get it popping. You already know. All right. And what are we going to talk about? I got notes set up and all that, but it's so much stuff happening right now. It's February. Let me move this to get that camera right. All right, right now, it is February 28th. 2020, and things been just looking kind of crazy. All this stuff happening in Ukraine, all this stuff happening with China, and my mom always instilled in me to never talk politics or anything like that. So I felt like that's not the move for me. I felt like that was something that was always said to just silence people so they don't debate. And a lot of times it leads into arguments. You might have somebody who loves Trump, and you might have somebody who who loves Biden, and but now, them two might go at it, and it might be on a, get to a physical level. And I'm talking about with the hood people, with people like us that's from these neighborhoods that's really in the action when it comes down to it. People that don't know how to have regular debates. You understand? So that's why this is teaching my people. And when I say my people, I mean the hip-hop culture in general. This is teaching that we got to keep on doing what we're doing. We got to teach these kids something better, man. I'm saying earn your leisure. Shout out to them. They taught me so much. So I know they're teaching other people so much. Who else? There's just too many to name. Wallow, 267. He's an inspiration to me. I even, I've been through all the same programs that Wallow been through. I've been through. You know what I mean? The only thing that was different is I never went upstate in Pennsylvania. I went downstate in Jersey because I caught my case. In Camden, and it's not a cool thing. Jail ain't cool. When we were growing up, that was the cool thing to do. Like, if you ain't go to jail, you was a lame, you was a mark, for real. And that was like a whole different thing. It's a whole different setup. So it's like, I don't really know how to explain it, man. All right, first we're gonna start out with the white rapper thing. White rappers, if y'all don't know, white rappers are new to the game. White rappers only been around for about the past, we get them, 20? Nah, not even 20. 15? Nah. Can't do that. 10? Yeah. Within the past 10... years, white rappers became what they're known as right now. And with that being said, I was in the position where I started rapping before Eminem. And back then, it was unheard of for a white boy to just rap. It was just unheard of. It was really unheard of for anybody to rap like that. But a white boy? So, when I started rapping, it wasn't to, it wasn't to everybody's, you know, delight that I was rapping. First of all, you know, the prejudiced folks, you know, they always got something to say. So they're always going to say, oh, a white rapper, like this, that, and the third, you know. A lot of family members I had to cut off, you know, just because, you know, they didn't have the same beliefs that I had. And the beliefs that I had were so strong, and the beliefs that they had were so strong that it separated us. I've been called N-I-double-G-E-R lover my whole life. Up until recently, it's kind of like changing, but I see the vibes when, you know, just even back in the day, just the way I used to dress, you know, if I go through somewhere and the way I talk, they always said I had an accent. Like, are you from down south or something? You got an accent? Nah, I ain't got an accent. You got an accent? And that's one of the things that it just bothered me. I got to keep it all the way real. For the simple fact that it's like, all right. If you say that I'm talking black, then how does Obama talk? So you're saying I talk like Obama? Do I talk like Bob Marley? By black, what does that mean? Or do you mean that I'm talking like I'm from where I'm from? And I done what I done? This ain't new. Like, this ain't an act. This ain't... It's anybody who knows me, man. This ain't an act. I've been through it for real. First thing, they gonna try to put smut on my name. Always. I already know this. So, I'm gonna put it in the air before anybody could do that. You feel me? Anybody that knows? Yeah, I got on before. That used to be my twist. It's not no more. I overcame that. Heroin and cocaine addiction. And, you know, it's going on. I don't even... It's over 3 years since I touched that. And I'm proud of myself for that. You feel me? See, what happens is a lot of us deal with so much trauma that it's like... people don't realize it. I heard something, you know, while I was doing some studying and the other day, and the lady said something like to the effects of, you know, if you have a dream and a goal, that'll affect you in your relationship. Everything, if you don't get a chance to ever become that, later on down the pipe, you're going to think, like, what if? Now, for this music stuff, I lost relationships. What else I lose? I lost money. I'm spending money right now as we speak, as this kid's just dancing in the background of my video. You feel me? But it's cool. But the thing is, like, when the whole world left, hip-hop stayed. When I was in Youth Study Center. 15, 16 years old, and I thought I had the flu, but I was detoxing off opiates, off of Oxycontins and Percocets, which took over my neighborhood like crack did in the 80s, you understand? So now you got all my homies that's, you know, doing the same thing. They're on the Percocet and Oxycontin thing too. So it's hard to even stay away from that. You understand? Because I was just a dude that smoked weed. But if you look, like, Beanie Siegel ain't lying when he says, Philly, this is what our lifestyle was about. And we're trying to change the narrative on that because, you know, it took so many good people out of the game. And not even as far as took them out of the game, as far as, you know, them dying or anything. I'm talking about them being locked up, them just being productive members of the hip-hop community, and, you know, it just got them thrown off. I heard somebody say that they were, like, in sixth grade when Purple Sprite dropped, and that's a album, mixtape by the homie Future. Shout out to Future. And I remember the young boy saying, like, I was in sixth grade, I never took a Percocet or nothing, but he was saying, like, he knew just by the music that when he was of age and he was in a situation where he can buy that, he would be doing it. And, you know, there's always somebody like me that in my past life, you know, just used to hustle and do whatever for a dollar. Not whatever, but I'm saying get this cheddar, you know, out there in the streets, and it'd be somebody like me waiting to serve him. You feel me? Waiting to see his downfall. And not exactly in those, you know, these aren't my intentions from the beginning. To see this man, you know, go from, you know, copping whatever, and this is Twist, and he, you know, this is, he still got his life together, to somebody who's now, you know, ass in the front stuff, and, you know, asking all kind of favors, and, you know, selling stuff out the house and all that. And, but you don't know that it's going to lead to this at the beginning. And that's what this hustling thing's about. But I say all that to say this. As far as being a white rapper, since 1996, 97, 11, 12 years old, I got clowned out of a lot of ciphers before I can even get a bar off. I got clowned, period. By my own people. Like, who is he? Like, we listen to rap, but we don't, you know, we don't, just who is he? And if you don't know who I am, I'm the chosen one. I go through it so you wouldn't do it after me. Like I always tell people, Jay-Z and hip-hop lyrics taught me more than public schools. That's a Jay-Z lyric right there. And, you know, I just think that's the truth. I went through so much stuff that people probably wouldn't even believe it. From being homeless and you know, taking over abandoned houses and really taking them over. Like, yo, this is my shit. Ain't nobody going in the front room trying to take over a bandos. Like, but not even trying. Like, really doing it. And I'm not proud of this stuff, man. I'm 36 now. Like I said, I've been out that game for a while. But I could talk to you about this life. I can get you right. I know where you at, youngin'. Youngin', I know where you at. You wake up, you ain't got no money. Your stomach's hurting. You don't even know why your stomach's hurting. Your homie tells you, like, oh, you off your withdrawals. Now you know what the cure is, and you're going to do whatever you got to do to get that cure. I know. Trust me, I know. And I'm getting a little more of that after this commercial break. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. It's your boy, M.I. Corleone. By the way, if you ain't check out my new instrumental album, you're in the way. It's called Need To Be Alone. Need to, like the number two, be alone. And this got 7 new instrumentals on there. And I also have another instrumental album dropping on the 11th. And this is called Youngboy vs. Smirkio. And, you know, I'm putting beats on there that I think these young bulls should just go in there and rap it out. You know what I mean? See who kills the beat more. And I uploaded the beat, and it's hard, it's crazy. And I challenged both of them young men to say what's really on their mind. Let's squash this. Come on, man. It's only going to be more bodies, more bodies. You see what's going on with us and the whole Ukraine situation. I don't want to get too far into that because I don't even believe it's any of our business. But I'm going to get into that right after this commercial break. You know, it's M.I. Corleone, the Learn As You Grow podcast. What's going on, man? I'm back. It's your boy, M.I. Corleone. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. Not the Learn As You Go. Even though we're learning as we go, but we're growing. We ain't just going. We're growing. And on that note, we're going to talk about what I just said before the commercial. To the people that have been watching my YouTube network and all that, they know that I voted for Kanye West as a write-in on this election because I wasn't feeling Trump or Biden. You understand? So, with that being said, if I could have my vote over again, I would vote for Trump. Point blank, period. What's going on right now, I think Trump can handle it better than Biden can. Point blank, period. Assassinate me. Do whatever you gotta do. I don't care no more. I'm telling my truth. Everything that I say from here on out is my truth. If I die for my truth, then I die for my truth. If I get hurt for my truth, I get hurt for my truth. If I, if anything happens because of my truth, at least it's because of my truth. As I was just saying, my ancestors came here in 1893 from Ireland when they were starved out. I hope everybody is enjoying that Irish gold seaweed. If it wasn't for the United Kingdom starving us out, we'd probably never know about that. So, you know, we had to go look for anything to eat at that time. I'm not going to say we. I'm saying my people. Just like everybody says their people, the Jews say their people, they say their people. Now, let's get one thing straight. I hate when people say just white and black. At the beginning of this, I was talking about how people as a youngin' used to say I was an N-I-G-G-E-R lover. And that I talked like I was black. And I get to thinking like, so I talk like Obama? So I talk like Bob Marley? Who do I talk like Sinbad? Who do I talk like? Like, what exactly is talking black? It's something that I never got, I never understood, and I never really cared to even try to understand. Cause at the end of the day, people are gonna talk. They're always gonna talk. And that's why I am where I am and you are where you are. Because I'm not scared to get hurt for what I said. That already happened to me. Where plenty of people wrote me off from my hood, the neighborhood I grew up in, wrote me off. Oh yeah, he's making rap music. He's messing with them, with the other people. All right, we don't mess with him. Own family and all. My own family and all. And that made me rebel a lot, but that made it hurt. My mom, her brother, got killed back in 77, 76. Franny Rabbit Coleman on 29th and Oakford. And my mom had to tell my nanny about that. And, you know, she had to run and tell her, like, yo, Franny got shot. And that affected my life. Because it affected my mom's life, it affected my nanny's life, it affected all my nanny's kids. You know, she had about 5-6 kids, and it affected my grandfather's life, my grandfather Paul Coleman, who became an alcoholic at that time. And if there was other drugs around at that time, see, at that time, they were getting people hooked on alcohol. It was a big deal. Prohibition. I mean, take it away. You take something away from somebody, that's going to make people want it more. You understand? So, like, all right, for instance, if they say, yo, Red Bulls are off the market. It's off the market. But I got Red Bulls in the tuck. I'm going to be able to charge $10 for these joints. Because people are going to want Red Bulls because you always want what you can't have. That's just something that us as humans deal with. So now, I say that I would vote for Trump again because I feel as though he's more built and ready to go to war than Biden is. I don't know if you guys know, but the real estate market is a very, very, very difficult market to be in. Especially in New York City, Manhattan. What? For you to get a building in Manhattan with your last name on top of it, you ain't no chump. You ain't no walkover. You're not a walkover. Nobody is going to tell me that Trump is a pushover. Nobody. Atlantic City. Notoriously known for mobsters, mob activity, gang activity, all that. Political activity, all that. With that gambling, it was only Vegas and Atlantic City. So if you were on the East Coast, you were going to Atlantic City to gamble at that time. We're only talking about 20 years ago, because when I got out of my vacation in Jersey, in Annandale. Shout out to everybody in Mountain View for correctional facility. When I got out of there, I got a job at the Brigada, the water club, and at the end of that, I got laid off. It was right around the time like the Phillies won World Series in baseball, and because I remember I was on parole and I couldn't go to the parade, that hurt. But now Trump had his name on everything in Atlantic City. Even if he don't own it no more, these people still want that last name on top of that building. He gets paid just to have his last name on top of that building. So that comes with a lot of power. That comes with somebody who might not be from the streets as we say it, but are you not straight if you went to military school your whole childhood? Since you were five, kindergarten, you're in military school. It's military up. You look at old pictures of him in school. He was the shortest. He was the youngest one, but he was always in the front. They said he was just a, he would rumble any of the big boys too, and like, he's not a pushover. See, I did research on both of these candidates before this even happened. People don't even know that if you live in Queens, New York, and you live in a house there, or if you live in a project building there, it was built by Trump's dad. The whole Queens. It was a landfill. Nobody wanted that land over there. He bought the whole Queens. And then, let's keep it real. People don't really know. He had a big involvement with public housing. He's the one that built Queensbridge Projects, the home of Nas, and so many, Mobb Deep. Shall I continue? And, you know, later on, it went down the line that, you know, some racism stuff was going on, and, you know, I believe that racism exists. Well, hold on, racism and, prejudice is more the word, because, I always, you know, growing up in the Irish neighborhood, you know, we're both surrounded by just white and black, and we're both poor. We're both broke. We both ain't really got ish. But we were fighting with each other, because the news is telling us that they're fighting with each other out in California. And the news is telling each other that they're fighting out down south. And the news is telling each other that the news been divided. We ain't been conquering nothing at all. We're all taking losses. The 80s. I wore my 1985 All-Star Game jacket today. I think back to 85, the year I was born. And that's the Reagan era, Reaganomics. That's when crack came into play. That's when real drug money came into play. Before the 80s, I mean, there was drug money, but there wasn't real drug money like there is now. And then you go to my life, all right? By the time I was 15, I was already taking perks. And even on later on down the line, 2010, around that time, the young boys in the neighborhood, 2005, all that, they would be taking methadone before they even ever took a Percocet. This is really what's going on in the ghettos across America. And people don't know that we have so many people that are addicts that came home from Afghanistan. You know, and people want to say, you know, that's on them. But you don't know the trauma that somebody been through. And it's not their obligation to tell you the trauma that they been through. Therefore, who are you to prejudge anybody and be prejudiced? Until you know somebody's situation, don't judge them. I'm going to tell a story before I end this. And if this is real, my sister died August 18, 2021. Not even a year ago. And one of the last people that seen her, you know, it's somebody that I grew up with, somebody that I call my brother, you know. And he told me, you know, he's one of the last people that seen her. He told me he seen her, where he seen her. And he said he seen her with a black dude. And somebody else seen her before that. And, you know, she was going down there to get what she was going to get. And she wound up, you know, overdosing. But the simple fact that reminds me of like saying, like, yeah, she was with the boogeyman. Like, oh, she was with some black dude. Like, all right, bro. Like, I don't know if that's the story. That could be the story. But I know that gets thrown around a whole lot. Like, yeah, some black boy did it. And, you know, he came up and shot him in the rail, you know, stuff like that. And we had to really check ourselves and see what is white and black. Are white, are Jewish people white? Because they don't consider themselves white. They consider themselves Jewish. They consider themselves the chosen ones. Right. African Americans or whatever you want to call them, because, you know, some believe that they were here first. I'm not here to debate all that, but what I'm saying is African Americans, they're getting feminized now, the men. And it's like, are we ready to go to war? I see a lot of females that are tougher than these dudes out here these days, and like are really ready to ride more than these dudes out here. And I blame it on them feminizing the man through media. I blame, you know, in Russia, you know, and I don't have nothing against nothing, but they're not showing crazy stuff, you know, on TV and all that, you know, stuff that's different. May I say, they're not open to new stuff, and you know, where am I going with this? So now, you split us up between black and white, but then there's still Irish, Italian, Jewish, and then there's still gay, lesbian, bisexual, they're just so trans, whatever you are, and you know, I got love and respect for everybody, but to, like, places like Russia, this stuff will not be allowed to be televised. And you see that there's a lot less of that over there. And it just gets me to thinking, like, it's a lot of ways to divide people. And one of them's through romance and what you like. Like, for instance, you know, it was always told, like, you know, you don't date outside of your race at a certain, you know, years ago. Now it's all out, and it's just a different world, and it was becoming a different world, but men weren't getting feminine. So it goes back to the point, what if this happened in America, what's happening in Ukraine right now? Would we be able to handle it? Would we be able to handle it? Comment on that. What do you think? Would we be able to handle it? What do you think? Are the men feminized a lot more these days? And I'm not talking about gay men. I'm not. That's their preference. I'm talking about regular straight men. Are like, you know, I ain't, you know, if a mouse comes up, they jump higher than a girl. I say all that to say, my man Dex Dill, a poster son to that. And he said, over there in Russia, you know, they be boxing trees and wrestling bears. And he said, we might have to sit this one out. First of all, that's not our choice to say that they can't take anybody's land, in my opinion. In my opinion, Putin and everybody in Russia is calling America hypocrites right now. Like I said, I dated two Russian girls from Russia who actually live in Russia still right now. And, you know, when I lived in Atlantic City, it'd be a lot of foreign exchange students. So, you know, I would beg a lot of them. So anyway, the Russian girls are different. Their bodies are built different. They're a lot stronger. They're not weak in any type of way. The ones I met anyway, they're strong. Even the ones like, you know, they respect their parents so much. They respect their family history so much. It means so much to them. Their family name means so much to them. It's so much pride. They got pride in their country. They're proud to be Russian. I haven't seen a lot of that. I still see it in, like, my dad's generation. But after that, even the people that went to the Afghanistan war or went to Iraq war, I remember watching Iraq war when we was in St. Gabe's and they turned it on 2003. And we were in school when they turned it on. And I remember us thinking, like, yeah, we're doing a good thing. We're running in this country and, you know, we're getting this guy out of here. But then you start to think, like, who are we? This whole land is colonized. Everything we got is colonized. We got military bases all over the world. So it's in our best interest to go into Ukraine, help them out, and get a military base there. That's what it's all deeper than you think. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but it's been proven time and time and again. This is what we do. This is what we do. 20 years from now, this whole thing. But you got to remember, now China and Russia, they're together. They're two bullies too. They can rumble too. And while the bully's lacking, you know, the person that gets bullied, he's ready for that action. He's getting ready. Person that's bullying, doing the bullying, they think he's sweet. He ain't doing nothing until he finds out your weakness and how to really hit you hard. And how does that happen? Fentanyl, killed 100,000 people last year. That's a pandemic, if you ask me. 100,000 Americans died from fentanyl overdoses last year. Somebody explain something to me. Now, I'm not proud of it, but I've been in the drug game since I was a kid. Now, around 2008, 2009, the heroin was brown heroin, right? Right after that, 2010 area, at 2000, that whole blurry, it started turning over to fentanyl, and it was white. I say that to say, that was a few years after we went into Afghanistan, which is the number one supplier of opium in the world, on this planet. Now, I don't know what we were doing over there for 20 years, but my guess is we weren't just letting all that opium go to waste. We were stacking up. We knew that there may be some sanctions from other countries because, yeah, we're sanctioning Russia and all that, but now, you know, China, we're sanctioning them. They're doing the same thing back to us. We're not getting our goods like we're supposed to at all. And then we got this, this mad stuff and all that, people taking the jab and everything. It's all really getting crazy. And I just felt as though I need to speak on it. And I feel as though Trump right now would be doing a better job than Biden. What do you guys think? Comment below. If the next election, if it goes down to Trump versus Biden, who are you voting for? Real answers. I don't want everybody to keep being fake. I'm tired of that. All right, listen. All right, yeah. All right, if Trump is a little bit racist, that's racist. Okay, cool. You know how many rappers I listen to that talk all kind of racist stuff about white people, but I still listen to them. I still listen to the message. I still rock with them because I know they're prejudiced. He's prejudging me. He dealt with this race and this way all their lives, so he's prejudging me to be that. But then when I get around that person and I start to kick it with him, oh, after 2 days, oh, you my favorite white boy. Yo, you the coolest white boy I ever met in my life, bro. And you just see all, there ain't no racism there. It's prejudice. It's prejudge. And with that being said, man, we got to get rid of that. Stop prejudging homosexuals. Stop prejudging Asians. Stop prejudging Spanish. Stop prejudging black, white, whoever. Indian, Native American, Indian, whoever. We gotta stop prejudging, man. Because there's only one person that's gonna judge us in the end. That's it. One person. One person. That's what I believe, anyway. And there's only one person that can judge me right now. Besides, Your Honor. Only I can judge me, man. I'm so tired of living up to other people's expectations and you know, trying to fit in. I can admit that everybody wants to fit in some type of way, but I always put my own style to it. I always went against the grain. Like I said, I could have easily, you know, not rap and not got into that lane and just listen to, you know, certain family members like, oh, they, you know, they're a different type of people. No, they're not. When I was down in that, when I was homeless, guess who took me in? Yeah, a black family. Yeah. Shout out my man Sharik, Danny L. Love you guys. And that's real. That's real. As Washington on the dollar bill, because I was taught at a young age that not to be prejudiced because of what my mom went through as far as her brother getting killed over just nonsense, over stuff that ain't got nothing to do with no money and ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's just dividing people. And I just see a lot more of that. And I hope you get united. I hope people start focusing on their health more. I hope the OGs, you call yourself an OG. If you call yourself an OG and you ain't giving no game to these youngins, I don't respect it. You just an old guy. That's all. That's why I do this podcast, because I know that I can't get in front of these young bulls and actually say it, because most of the time, they're really not trying to hear it. I remember when I was 16, 17, I wasn't trying to hear nothing. I thought I knew it all. But I told you, everything Jay-Z said, I listened to. Now, you do the math with that. Every song that he had, I know it by heart within a week. I'm not just talking about him, I'm talking about just the hip hop culture. You know. And that's the end of it. I love the hip hop culture, man. Every single piece of it taught me what I know. But I'd vote for Trump if it all came down again, man. And you got he pardoning Kodak, he pardoning Lil Wayne. Come on, man. Get this man his credit. I know people think he just did that for the black vote at the end, but I don't know. If he did, he did. But he did it. And that's all that matters at the end of the day to me. Because if I'm in that jail and a black man gets me out, I know that I'm never going to prejudge again. Plain and simple. If, you know, if somebody gets me out of jail, a situation, I remember that. And that's why I can't be prejudiced. I can't prejudge people. Because anybody that I ever tried to prejudge, a lesson got taught to me. So, we're all the same. We're all equal. But, my people, we got to get stronger. We got to get united. Even as far as the rap tip, everybody just wants to beef. You know why? They're more liable to diss you in a song than hit you up and ask you to do a record because they're scared you'll say no. Sit on that. These people diss each other just because they don't want to ask each other to be on each other's records because they're scared somebody might say no. And they're scared some fans might get stolen or something like that. It's all over BS, man. Look at the real picture, man. It's about freedom. Don't forget about Afghanistan when we left Afghanistan and you seen people jumping on them planes, holding on for dear life. Like, they really thought they were going to hang on the wing and go to America. This is what they thought. because they cherish their freedom so much. And I think we take that for granted. I don't take it for granted because I've been down. I know what it's like. And freedom is everything. On that note, I'm out. Express yourself. Say how you feel. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. You know, don't let nobody else, you know, persuade you. That's another thing. A lot of people, I see them having dialogues and conversations, and I see them actually going against what they believe and just, and, you know, talking. And they're talking about stuff that they don't even believe just because this other person is saying it, when that's what you're putting on the line for yourself. This is you. You know what I mean? This is what you stand for. So now, you know, you're saying this to this person, this to this person. You like, when you're around black folks, you don't like Trump. When you're around white folks, you're a Trump supporter. Like, that's fake. That's not real. And I'm 100 all the time. And I'm going to speak my mind. On that note, it's the Learning to Grow podcast. We'll check you out next week, hopefully. We get these podcasts done as we can, and we put out as much content as we can, and it's not a weekly podcast, it's just as it comes, pause, it comes. So, with that being said, check out the Spam for Spam podcast on the YouTube. Check out, you know we got the Beats by the, the Beats Are Talking podcast, you know that's on YouTube too. And the Spam for Spam show is about, I want people to listen to my beats when I send them to them. So, therefore, in return, I want them to, listen to my beats. So, how am I going to tell them, I ain't listening to yours? So, what I did to market that is I just started listening to their songs while I'm recording, and with that, I judge them, I give them a review, break the song down, and usually have a guest with me that'll help me break the song down and see if it's hot or not, you understand? So, check them out. The YouTube is popping right now, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more next episode. So Learn As You Grow podcast. And my Corleone. BeatsByTheKilo.com. Look, to get your business on the Learn As You Grow podcast, the Spam for Spam podcast, www.beatsbythekilo.com, @beatsbythekilo.com on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. Types of pages all over, but you get the point. We'll advertise you anywhere you want into this, and even other places as far as if you want to get on YouTube and you need somebody to make you a commercial, who better than CLC Advertising? Now, CLC Advertising is new to the game, but we've been around for almost 20 years now, and I'm talking about doing digital stuff. I've been doing marketing online since the AOL days when I used to market my cassette tapes on that. Yeah, it's around on the profile back in the day. You used to be able to write something. I'd type in some bars back then, and I had people asking for cassette tapes. So back then I was doing that. And when I came home from doing my little stint that I was just talking about 15 years ago, I jumped right on the MySpace, and anybody knows that my Real Rap Entertainment channel at that time with my music on it, that had so many subscribers and so many views, because what I was doing, I was the first person to get other people's tracks. I was the first person with Beanie Siegel's Jay-Z diss back in 2008-2009. And when I posted that, I put my album cover on there and my MySpace. So whoever's listening to the Beans joint, they're gonna be like, oh, this the white boy from Philly? Like, who is he? Like, let me check him out. So then they check it out. So then my views got crazy. But at the end of the day, you know what happened? MySpace folded. I had all my friends on MySpace. No contacts nowhere else. No email addresses, no phone numbers. I just had contacts on MySpace, and it folded. It turned to Facebook, turned to Instagram, turned to Twitter, turned to all these other spots, and left everybody stranded trying to get new fans. New fans. So then you had to put new content out. And at that time, I was so distraught because I had everything in the box, you know, and to start all over was just a hurt piece. So with you, you can get it on YouTube, you can get it on whatever, SoundCloud, but will that stay up forever? You don't know. But if you put your music on beatsbythekilo.com, I promise you, it'll stay up there. Now, beatsbythekilo.com isn't, some people thought my name was Kilo, like Beats by the Kilo Productions. Nah, it ain't like that. It's more like founded after Beats by the Pound, the legendary No Limit Records production group. Look them up. Look how many beats they made in a year for every album. And, 98, 97, 10 years. Look how many beats they made for the No Limit Records. Anyway, paying homage to them, I started this. So I'm looking for producers. I'm looking for rappers. Because I got my publishing company too, which is called Beats by the Kilo Publishing. And we're through ASCAP. And we're also looking for artists to work with to give out single deals. Single deals are a thing that I haven't seen too much of these days, but I plan to bring them back. And what a single deal is I take an artist who got, might have a slight little buzz, a little something, you know what I mean? Like maybe 2,000 followers or something, but I might have interest in what he's doing. So therefore, what do? I come in, I, first of all, bless his pockets with a little something, and for one song, one single, this is for one song, and I'm gonna pay for him to get the video shot, and I'm gonna pay for him to record the song, get it mixed, mastered, I'm gonna pay for the beat, everything, so it's 100% ours. And when I say ours, I mean that it's literally ours. Like, I'm not trying to jerk you for your publishing or none of that. What I I'm going to do is I'm going to help you set up your own publishing. Because a lot of people don't know how to do that. But if you go onto the YouTube page and subscribe, then you know. But anyway, back to what I was saying about the advertising. You advertise with me, I can get you on YouTube. And a lot of people don't know that the secret is Google. With Google advertising, as far as as far as advertising, because with Google, alright, say somebody types in plumber in St. Louis, right? Now, you can have that with your business to type in to where as though it's in one little spot, one little area code, and it'll be, say you just want older people, you don't want to mess with young people, you know, they're sloppy and, you know, they just bring problems. So you just want ages 35 and up. You can actually send your commercial out to them, your advertisement out to them when they look it up, and it just goes straight to them, and you don't have to deal with nobody else, and you only have to pay if they click. And you can do it for as little as $2 a day. You can't beat that. For as little as $2 a day, like, and you don't have to pay if they don't click. So that's an impression right there. What an impression is, if people don't know, an impression is they seen Beats by the Kilo. They didn't click on it, but they seen it. They scroll past it, but it's in their head now. That's an impression. They seen it. So next time it's going to be familiar to them, and they might double back next time. And that's what it's all about as far as promotion goes, is your name and your brand being seen. Because like I tell rappers all the time, what's going to make you different? Being a rapper is like going down there, being a cereal box with an aisle full of about 10 million cereal boxes. Why are they going to pick your cereal box? Only way I can figure is because your cereal boxes are, outshining. You're putting out more content. So, as far as advertising goes, you just want to get your business in as many places as you can. You want to get, if you do music, you want to get your songs in as many places as you can. If you do plumbing, you want to get your plumbing pictures of before and after or whatever. You know, up on as many websites as you can, up on as many reviews as you can, and I will help you with that personally. If you look at me, I'm a level 8 Google Google type analytics dude. So advertising can bring your business up to 65% more clientele than you had last year, this year. So especially with the digital and all the online stuff right now, get it done. What are you waiting for? Hit me up, 215-436-3725. Once again, that's 215-436-3725. Hit me up if you need advertisement. Hit me up if you need exclusive beats. If you don't, check them out, beatstars.com/beatsbykilo, soundcloud.com/beatsby/thekilo. So, I'm off this. Advertise with us, CLC Advertising. And I'm out on that note. You know.